Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Mother, we thank you for the gift of worship. Whether we're few or many, we come together under one roof to gather, and I just pray you put it on our hearts that this would become a greater priority and commitment for our people. Help us. Help us remain faithful to what you're calling us to be and not get discouraged and not lose heart. Because you said that you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. So that's what we pray this morning. Thank you for worship. Thank you for the team. Thank you for the freedom we have here. Thank you for the relationship we have here with the school over all these years. May it continue. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking to us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know, there's a saying that we usually find the time and money to do the things we really want to do. And I guess that's true for the most part. But my dad really liked this other saying. It says, the proof of the desire is in the pursuit. I know some say the proof of the pudding's in the eating, but the proof of the desire is in the pursuit. And he would quote that to me when he would sense I was about to give up on something that I said I really wanted. At least I said I really wanted it. Kind of like going down the Ocoee River on a raft, right, Chris? For years, we moved down from New Jersey 45 years ago. And when I heard about whitewater rafting on the Ocoee, I thought, man, I'd really want to do that someday. Well, 45 years later, I've still yet to go down the river on a raft. So, but there was no real desire. Otherwise, I would have figured out a way of doing it, right? I hadn't had guides that would take me free. I didn't have to pay for it. Never made it. But my dad would ask me, Bob, how bad do you really want that? Because the proof of your desire for that is in your pursuit of it, or your, in my case, lack of pursuit of it. Because that's where the proof is, right? We could talk and talk and talk. I want to do this, I want to do that. But where's the pursuit of these things? And as bad as I wanted to disagree with my dad as a 19-year-old know-it-all, I knew he was right. What was I willing to go through? What was I willing to give up? What obstacles was I willing to overcome to fulfill that desire that I said I had? Fast forward 50 years, and that saying is still true. And actually, it's the title of this morning's message. My dad would be surprised. He'd say, wow, I took one of the quotes I liked and made it a title of your message. But the title is, The Proof of the Desire is in the Pursuit. And we're going to be in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3. And Philippians chapter 3. So Lord, open your word up to us now. You got a word in here for us, and your word goes out, and it doesn't return void, but it accomplishes your plan and your purpose for it. So may it accomplish your purpose for us here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I believe we could all agree that we need more of Jesus in our lives, right? Right? We may not want more of him, sometimes, but if we're being honest, I think we all would admit we definitely need more of him in our lives. I haven't met anybody yet that's got too much of Jesus. I sure need more of him in my life, but are we seeking more of him? Are we seeking his face more? Are we seeking his presence more? Are we seeking his heart more? Are we beholding his beauty more? How badly are we seeking these things, or are we too busy seeking the comforts and pleasures that the world offers instead? How willing are we to persevere in seeking more of God's presence, seeking greater intimacy with him? How much desire do we really have to pursue more of the Lord? And I got to tell you, before I ever get up here and share this on a Sunday morning, the Lord works me over first in my own life. So he's already worked me over before I get up here and share it. I'm not pointing no fingers, otherwise I'm pointing myself first. But keeping in mind the proof of the desire is in the pursuit of him, But you know, there's no lack of desire in his heart in pursuing us, is there? He leaves the 99 so he could pursue the one. And he's not satisfied with just a little bit of us once a week for a couple hours. He wants all of us all the time because he's absolutely crazy about us. He's madly in love for us. Remember, he suffered terribly and died a brutal death for you and for me. And he's a jealous God. He doesn't want to share us with the gods and the idols of this world. So there's no lack of desire on his part, but I wish I could say the same about our desire for him. And in our search and in our pursuit of greater intimacy with the Lord, when things begin to get a little challenging, a little difficult, too often we choose to just give up and back away, or we look for an easier path, which may or may not be the Lord's leading. Could just be our flesh. Could be we're just looking for a more comfortable path because, let's face it, we're a nation that's addicted to comfort. I am. And unfortunately, even in our spiritual lives, we don't like to struggle. We don't like to wait on God. We want everything now. And I know the Lord can open a door for us that no man can shut whenever he chooses to. And I know he can shut doors that no man can ever open. But we need to pursue him even more when we don't see an open door or when we encounter roadblocks on our path. I think those are the times we need to press into God even more. Press in with greater determination that in spite of obstacles, in spite of delays, we're going to keep on keeping on. That's why we need to have a discerning spirit, because his sheep know his voice. And we need to know what's of God and what's of the devil and what's maybe just our personal preference of taking the path of least resistance. By our nature, we generally seek the easy way, right? Now, I believe in working smarter instead of just working harder. I mean, why dig a ditch with a shovel if you got a backhoe, right? Listen, who wants to sweat if you don't have to? Who wants to put in a lot of effort if we don't have to? But unfortunately, sometimes that way of thinking turns into a lazy mindset. We were created to work, right? And sometimes that lazy mindset can creep into our spiritual lives and we become spiritually lazy. It becomes easier to stay in this nice, familiar routine where everything is predictable and everything's under our control. Well, where's the adventure in that? Where's the faith being displayed in that? If everything's predictable and everything's under control. This life of faith in Christ oftentimes is a very unpredictable and very challenging journey. And it's very costly. Would you agree? Would you agree that obedience to Christ, following Christ, is costly? The answer is yes. But you know what? If obedience to Christ is costly, then disobedience to Christ is even more costly. And some of us, myself included, have learned the hard way that disobedience to the Lord is a lot more costly than obedience to him. Like they say at the police station, it's just cheaper to obey the law. You don't get tickets, you don't get fines, you have to go to court. It's just cheaper to obey the law. Well, disobedience to Christ is a lot more costly than obedience. Now, if we neglect to obey Holy Spirit's leadership because it's going to take us out of our comfort zones, if it's going to take us somewhere we don't necessarily want to go, if it's going to stretch us, if it's going to require more of us than we're willing to give, and instead of obeying, we choose to back off or opt out of God's plan and do it our way, well, that's going to be costly. You reap what you sow. How costly is that going to be? I don't know. I just know that if obedience to Christ is costly, then disobedience to Christ is even more costly. Because the bottom line is we just need more of him. We need closer fellowship, more intimacy with Christ. We need to know his heart better. Now, all through the Bible, the Word describes our relationship with Christ in these strong symbolic pictures of oneness and unity with him. He is in us, and we are in him. That alone should blow our minds. I still can't fully grasp that, but I know it's true. He's the head, we're the body. He's our bridegroom, we're his bride. But in spite of all these metaphors, let's face it, there remains a sense of distance, like a barrier between us and the presence of the Lord. But we know when Jesus went to the cross, that curtain that separates us was torn from top to bottom. But do you sense there's still like a barrier, like some kind of distance between us and him? The good news is it's a removable barrier. It may be an obstacle, but it's a removable obstacle, praise God. And it's a challenge, and it's testing us. But the question is, will we persevere in seeking God's presence until we find him and lay hold of him and never let go? Because we know he won't let go of us. It's an illustration of a daddy walking with his child on a sidewalk. And as long as the child is holding on to his daddy's hand, the daddy's going to make sure he stays on the sidewalk. But if that kid lets go of his daddy's hand, it's hard to tell. He might get in the mud. He might go out in the street. And oftentimes, we let go of his hand because we think we don't want to go that way. We want to go this way and do our own thing. So when we let go of him, that's costly. That's foolish. When we look at the times we're living in, we see over and over and over that human ideas, human solutions keep falling short of solving the world's problems. But people who understand the hour we're in are seeking more of God because he is really our only hope. Amen? So if we're wise people, we'll be more intentional about seeking more of him instead of just seeking more pleasure. But as soon as we're determined to pursue him more, guess what? The enemy is going to beef up his strategy to distract us and to discourage us with his lies. So we're going to have obstacles to overcome. There will be spiritual battles along the way. But let's not use that as an excuse to fail. Don't use that as an excuse to fail. It's too easy to say, well, I tried, but it didn't work. I tried to quit drinking, but it didn't work. I tried to quit smoking, but it didn't work. I tried to stop eating so much, but it didn't work. I tried to stop having sex with my boyfriend or my girlfriend, but that didn't work. And I tried to live for God, but you know what? It just didn't work. And it never will if we're dependent on our own abilities. Only he can transform our lives. Only he can renew our minds. Only the Lord can change the human heart. So how bad do we really desire more of him? He knows. How bad do we desire intimacy with Christ? Because, like my dad used to say, the proof of that, the proof of the desire is in the pursuit. And there's this great example of this from the Song of Solomon. Here we have a woman, a Shulamite woman, a Shulamite maiden, a future bride who felt so distant from her future bridegroom that she was unwilling to say, well, I tried to find him, but it didn't work. She wasn't willing to just tolerate this barrier, this distance between them. This woman, this future bride, she symbolizes the church, the bride of Christ, and its deepest longing and desire for our bridegroom, Jesus. So in this passage, the bridegroom represents our bridegroom, Jesus. And she represents the church. So let's look at this passage. This is in chapter 3 of Song of Solomon. Your Bible might say Song of Songs. This is the ultimate. This is the greatest love song of all love songs. And yes, Travis, that includes the Beatles. So some commentaries say this woman's recalling a dream she had in these verses. But either way, that's not the main point. Let's read through verse 1 through 4, and then we'll go back, look at it in detail. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. I'll get up now and go about the city through the streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but did not find him. Verse 3 and 4. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed him when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till I had brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. And then this future bride warns other single girls, calls them the daughters of Jerusalem. And in so many words, she tells them, maintain sexual purity until marriage. But what I want us to focus on in these verses is how the proof of this woman's desire is in her pursuit of, as she calls him, the one my heart loves. So let's look again at verse 1 in chapter 3. All night long on my bed I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. He wasn't there. See, looking for the Lord, seeking the Lord is an action that is born out of love. It's not just a matter of discipline or duty. It's got to be born out of love. But first, there has to be this awakening in our heart, in our spirit, of a true desire that is stirred by love. And this woman, this future bride, she's unable to sleep. She's unable to sleep because the one her heart loves is gone. He's not there. So she must seek him. She must look for him. She must find him. We could say the bride loves because Christ first loved her, right? That's what 1 John 4:19 tells us, that we only love because he first loved us. But notice she isn't saying, well, I looked for him, but I didn't find him. I guess I'll just roll over and go back to sleep. Are you kidding me? She can't sleep. She's not giving up. Look what she does next. I'll get up now and go about the city through its streets and squares. I'm going to get up and go. I'll search for the one my heart loves. So she gets up. She goes to find him. And it's that very love that he inspired empowers her to go. She pursues her beloved, the one, it says, her heart loves. See, this future bride, she just cannot adjust to being alone, to feeling alone. There's no peace in her heart. There's no rest for her body without her beloved. And her first attempts of seeking, looking for him, came up empty, but she's not about to give up. She doesn't say, oh, well, I tried, but it didn't work. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. No, she doesn't give up. She rises up. She rises up from the safety and the security of her bed. She leaves the comfort of her warm home and now is seeking the one her heart loves out in the city streets and squares at night by herself. Not a safe thing for a woman by herself to do, but she's desperate. She's desperate. So not only is she out in the streets of the city, but she's also facing the power of darkness. Right? This woman, all alone on the dark streets of a city, is way out of her comfort zone. This is unpredictable territory for her. And sometimes for you and me, as the bride of Christ, seeking him will take us out of our comfort zones and put us into some unpredictable territory too. But nothing will stop this woman. And I wonder, can we say the same? Can we say nothing will stop us either from pursuing him? Nothing will stop her. Not her need of sleep, not her fear of the night. The love for her bridegroom compels her to keep seeking, keep looking for him. And she's disappointed. Remember, I looked for him, but I didn't find him. That's disappointing. But she doesn't give up. Listen, there comes a time in our spiritual maturing process when our love for God needs to be elevated above our intellectual or doctrinal understanding. When the bride of Christ cannot contain her longing, when we cannot contain our desire for him, does that describe us like it describes this woman? I hope not. I hope it does, because if it doesn't, it should. To keep searching, to keep seeking his presence is a sure sign of a mature Christ follower. Not to be content, say, well, I got saved when I was 15. I'm going to heaven when I die, so I'm okay. No. We know the Apostle Paul kept looking ahead, right? With all he experienced, with all he taught, with all he wrote, he kept straining forward, the Bible says, straining forward in his pursuit to know Christ more. That takes committed effort. Paul considered everything rubbish. He had a lot of worldly accomplishments, and he said, none of it matters. It's all garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Above everything else this world had to offer, Paul desired intimacy with Christ more. To know Christ and the power of his resurrection, he declared. And get this, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Ooh, we don't want to talk about suffering, do we? We don't like that. That's a mature follower. Jesus suffered. Why do we think we won't if we're going to truly follow him? Not that Paul had already obtained all this, but it says he pressed on to take hold of it, forgetting what is behind him and straining forward for what is ahead. You know, some of us need to stop living in the past and move forward. It's great to reminisce and remember, have fond memories, but man, it's unhealthy to live back there. Even if you had spiritual memories, those are good, but God's not back there anymore. He's up here now, and he's wondering, are you coming? Because I'm going this way. You need to be following me. Oh, man. Look what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all of us who are spiritually mature agree on these things. You hear that? Let all of us who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Listen to this. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. That's confidence. But don't miss this part. But we must hold on to the progress we've already made. We can't be falling back and forgetting what we've already accomplished for him. Let all of us who are spiritually mature agree on these things. See, there's power in agreement, and the devil knows that. So if he can cause strife and division and all kinds of separation, he wins. Because he knows there's power in unity. There's power in agreement. Paul's encouraging us this morning. Keep pressing on. Keep straining toward what is ahead. Keep searching. Don't give up. Keep seeking more of Christ. For the Apostle Paul, this became all-consuming. Now, I know you'll say, well, with my schedule at work and home and all this other stuff, I can't be that all-consuming. Now, we can pray continually, right? Pray without ceasing, have that prayerful attitude, even when we're doing our jobs or washing dishes or delivering stuff. You know, it was all-consuming for the future bride in our story, who represents the body of Christ, the church. Her love for her bridegroom had become all-consuming too. And to accept his absence in her life, that was unacceptable. And I wonder if we would say to accept his absence in our lives is unacceptable as well. I sure hope it's unacceptable. Somebody asked me once, would you want to go to heaven if Jesus wasn't there? But remember what this future bride said? I'll get up now, and I'm going to go about the city through its streets and squares. I'll search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but I did not find him. So her attempt so far to find her beloved has proved fruitless. But she doesn't throw in the towel and say, it's not worth it. Can't do it. She doesn't call off the search. You know, and the Lord will allow obstacles. He'll allow delays so that it deepens and it strengthens and tests the true character of our love for him. Well, how much do we love him? Do we back away the minute some hardship comes, the minute some struggle comes? Or we say, well, I did love you, but this ain't worth it to me. Because it does say in the Bible, many of them stopped following him when things got tough. May it never be said of us. So let this encourage us not to lose heart, not to give up in our seeking him. And let's understand also that we'll not find his fullness by seeking him only when it's convenient for us. Right? We like things when it's convenient for us. This is what I want. This is when I want to do it. God's not interested in more churches of convenience. He's already got too many of those. He's looking for churches of commitment, not convenience. We can't just seek God in comfortable places. This search is a continual pilgrimage. Think of it as a lifelong treasure hunt. So the future bride doesn't seek her beloved when it's convenient for her. She says, "The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city." They're going around at night. She's out there at night. So she asks them, "Have you seen the one my heart loves? Have you seen him?" She goes from her bed to the street and now to the watchman. She's seeking her beloved. Now notice in her searching and her looking, she didn't find the watchman. It says they found her. Some believe that the watchman in this story represents prophetic ministries and that their highest calling is to find the searching bride and direct her to Jesus. Are we a searching bride? Man, I hope so. You know, a lot of people are seeking the prophetic voices in the world today for a new word, a fresh word, a new revelation, but the true bride is looking for Jesus. When we're quoting some man or some woman more than we're quoting Jesus, there's a problem. But this woman has one focus, and she'll not be distracted. And she wants to know from the watchman. I'll take Shakespeare for 200. And she wants to know from the watchman is, "Have you seen him? Have you seen the one my heart loves?" And then she says, "Scarcely had I passed them." As soon as she passes them, "I found the one my heart loves." So here's the greatest motivation I see in this for seeking the Lord. The time will come when we will find him. Like that song says, "The more I seek you, the more I find you. And the more I find you, the more I love you." Right? This is a love story. God tells us in Jeremiah that we'll find him when we seek him with our whole heart. Maybe that's part of our problem. We're only seeking him half-heartedly. That's not enough. The future bride in our story says, "I held him. It would not let him go." See, we'll overcome the obstacles if we're trusting him. We'll overcome the delays, and we too will be secure in the embrace of Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus brings his loving presence, his living presence into the hearts of all those who really seek him, who desire him, who want him, to all those who surrender to him. And over and over and over again, he keeps demonstrating that love is the highest and most powerful law of his kingdom. I have one other observation about this intimate relationship between us, his bride, and Jesus, our bridegroom. And it's illustrated in this story of the woman searching for and finding the one her heart loves. Did you ever wonder where the bridegroom was during all this time when his future bride was searching for him? You think he was just sitting in heaven, completely detached to what was going on? No, he was watching. Actually, he was longing for his bride to find him. And look at what he says later. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 9. "You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride." Get this. "You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes." Whew. Isn't that wild? We're his bride. And he's returning from heaven for us. As long as we belong to him. If you're not sure about that, we need to talk before you leave. Make sure of that. But get this. A single glance of our eyes toward him makes his heart beat faster. And that's not some song lyric or something I made up. That's from the scriptures. A single glance of your eyes makes my heart beat faster. That kind of love is hard to fully understand. And as we're seeking more of him, as we're seeking his presence and we're seeking intimacy with him, and I hope we're doing those things, he sees us. He sees us preparing ourselves for him. He sees our search for more of him as preparation for him. He sees our repentance of sin and living a godly life as our preparation for him. Instead of pursuing the world's pleasures, he sees us pursuing the pleasure of his presence. And he's been watching us all along, and he tells us, the glance of your eyes has made my heart beat faster. Whew. And I know we live busy lives, right? I know we have many responsibilities and obligations and many tasks to do to function here in the world system. And sometimes we have all we can do is get through the day, go to bed, sleep for a while, get up and start over and do it all again. So there's a lot of restraints. There's a lot of requirements of us working in this world system. But we also have many tasks and assignments and responsibilities which have come from heaven. We're here for a divine purpose. Not to see how much stuff we can accumulate, not to see how much fun we can have. That could be part of it, but we're here for a divine purpose. And we all have a lot of needs, but the greatest need of our souls is to be and know Jesus, to be with him. And any areas of sin in our lives exist simply because we've lived too far away from him. Doing our own thing, going our own way. I hope that makes sense. Think about it. Any area of sin in your life or in my life is there because we've lived too far away from Jesus. We can't ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place unless we have clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart is what the Bible tells us. That's what it takes. So let's commit our hearts, or recommit our hearts to seeking more of Jesus, our bridegroom, the one who our hearts love. Let us find him and not give up, and let us hold on to him and never, never, never let go. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and say a dismissal prayer. If you want me to pray for anything, come on down. If not, have a blessed afternoon. And man, bring somebody with you next week. Lord, thank you again for letting us come together and worship together and hear your truth together. And Lord, encourage us this day. Let us not believe the lies of the enemy. We know he's a deceiver, he's a liar, there's no truth in him, he's the father of lies. We look to you, Jesus, and we want to pursue more of you. We want to have more intimacy with you. Let that be a true desire of our hearts, because the proof of that is in our pursuit. And we can talk about it, we can say about it, we can sing about it, but are we truly pursuing you? Put it in our hearts, Lord, to realize we need more of you. We may have enough of you to keep us out of hell, but we need more of you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth, in us and through us, as it is in heaven, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.